brought to you by Satanic International Network. You're listening to The Ooze.
Upon the stage, every foul wicked spirit is the host, The Ooze.
20 minutes, Daniel Olivet, on The Ooze, spread out.
On The Ooze, it's gonna fucking rock. Be there.
The whole point.
To really happen to have a serial crime
necessitates a certain fortitude.
Now onto our show.
All right, it's Sunday night, 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 10 p.m. Central Standard Time, and you are listening to The Ooze with your hosts, T.C. Downey and Jason Sorrell. T.C., what's going on, man?
What's up, dude? It's just another crazy day in paradise, I suppose, if you want to call it that. The land of the, fucking weird and hypocritical. So, what's going on, dude?
Not much, man. I've been, it's been a book solid weekend for me, tattooing. Just kind of been, you know, busy and, with the kids in between what I could do and everything and, feeling my age today, you spend so much time bent over a leg or an arm or whatever, man, you start to feel it. So, my back's a little aching and everything else, but, it's the way you got to pay the bills, I guess. So that's what's going on with me.
Right on. Well, coming from somebody who actually has, done certain types of work that cause, pain from repetition of position or lifting or whatever it is, when you know you're going to have one of those kind of days, sometimes it's not a bad idea to start the day off popping a couple ibuprofen or naproxen just to, get things loosened up ahead of time.
Yeah, I hear you. And yeah, it's something I try to do, but it's I'm getting old. I'm becoming an old man, I think, and that's what's going on.
Yeah, you certainly are getting grayer, bud.
It's
all good though, man. So.
It's still still doing what I love, still out there, enjoying, actually making a living, enjoying something that I actually do and want to do and everything. So. I'll take this over, I'll take the pain to keep doing what I'm doing. So, definitely worth it.
So, man, dude, doing what you love is always worth the pain. So, so what's going on, dude? I mean, I don't even know what we're fucking rambling about this evening.
Well, and I don't know if we're going to go for a full 2 hours tonight. I mean, if we can, super. But I wanted to talk about it because I wanted to address, I've got this idea, and I actually, every time I get an idea, I start kind of blogging about it. And people, I think, are starting to key into this idea that when I blog, I don't just, sit down and crank out a blog. I actually have to kind of, type away at it a little bit and think about it and talk to people about it. So if I get an idea that I want to kind of chase down in a blog, I feel it out first. I kind of try to, get my head around it fully before I start, typing about it. So I think I wanted to talk about, or I wanted to, kind of start picking people's brains tonight. We've been talking for the last several weeks about, taking action. And a lot of what we've been talking about is about why. And what steps, what to do, and things that you can do now. And a lot of it's been focusing on, getting yourself prepared as an individual, getting yourself prepared for any kind of emergency, any kind of situation where the status quo doesn't exist anymore or has fallen apart in some way, and now it's time to step up and either do for yourself or be fucked. So we've been kind of hinting, though, at some other ideas. some other things. And it's not so much hinting, I guess. We've been kind of talking it out and touching on some different ideas. I think that an agenda is kind of beginning to emerge through these discussions, through these conversations, not just on this particular show on Sunday nights, but I'm hearing it on the Friday night show, last week's show. The Friday night show was awesome. So Wiggapup, Lexi, you know, Female Satan, you know, the co-host for that show, I mean, they were on it. But their discussion was, again, more about the symptoms, you know, why it's necessary to do something, to take action, and less about what actions to take. So I think most of us that listen to the show are pretty much convinced that, you know, it's time to do something. So I wanted to kind of talk about the agenda that seems to be emerging, the plan that seems to be kind of forming. And I see this being formed by a number of different people. There are a number of different, I mean, you know, not just hosts of the show, but people who listen to the show, people we talk to in different forums and everything else. Everybody's kind of keyed into this whole idea that the system is collapsing, and it's going to be one of two things that you're going to have to choose from. You're going to have to choose from reliance on an even much more restrictive system, or some sort of, you know, self-determination, some sort of independence. So one of the things we've been talking about is actually forming a community. Actually, you know, whether it's, you know, moving to one particular central, you know, spot geographically, or something of that nature. And I think that's the big thing. That's the thing that seems to make the most sense to us, is that if we were all in our own community, it would be much easier to share resources. It'd be much easier to interact. It'd be much easier to, you know, deal with outside threats or, you know, issues or what have you. My thinking on that is that most of us aren't in a position, unfortunately, to just pack our bags and move to Florida or move to Texas or move to wherever. So most of us have to either, you know, deal with the people that we have locally and work something else out that way, or it has to be some sort of, you know, long-term plan, or both, that, you know, down the road at some point, eventually I'm moving to wherever. And from there, that, you know, we're gonna actually do this thing we've been talking about. So I kind of wanted to get your thoughts and our caller's thoughts. The phone number is 347-989-1371. On, first of all, the idea of being involved in some sort of community project. Talk about what that community would look like. Because I don't think we're moving towards some sort of cult. I don't think we're moving towards some sort of Jonestown kind of situation. It's going to be something familiar about what it is we're doing. I think in reality, the community that we do set up will be more of a kind of a preservation of what we've all come to expect the American dream to actually be, versus some sort of new way of doing things. Then I want to talk about also what we can do in the interim. You know, how can we form a community without being geographically within close proximity to one another? So I thought that's what we hit on tonight.
Right on. I'm sitting here in my mind trying to just ponder this question myself, because it's something I've gone over in my head over and over. I mean, the reality of getting everybody geographically together anytime in the, I don't know, immediate future, it does seem to be a little bit far-fetched, or a little bit of a pipe dream. One of the things that I've thought certainly would be necessary is kind of a cohesion of ideas and standards. I mean, you kind of develop this, a method of doing things. And that method would be kind of universal. One of the things that I appreciate about the Anonymous effort is that there is a process that's very similar in every action that is actually taken. There's a build to it. That build to it has some things that are signature about it. The way that it unfolds in that way can kind of be anticipated, but at the same time, you have just enough of an element of suspense that you're not really certain if it's going to come to full fruition or not. So the skepticism is left in there. But I think you're talking on more of a I want to say homestead type of mentality, where I'm speaking more of a an actual plan of action. You know, the process as I've seen it with this anonymous group is, you know, the internet video comes out. You know, and then there's a considerable amount of tagging that happens, kind of marking the turf. It sort of reminds me of that movie 12 Monkeys in a way. You know, that marking alone, that graffiti tagging that's happening there, it's enough to begin to stir curiosity. They're looking everywhere and they're seeing this recognizable symbol, and that symbol means something. You know, that symbol instantly means something too. It's not something that they have to go home and Google. I mean, they ultimately will go home and Google it to see if they can figure out, you know, why it's there. But immediately it has one level of meaning that happens. You know, I'm thinking about the little suit with the question mark over its head.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
I'm thinking about the freedom. One, I can't remember everything that's actually in there, but these are things that immediately kind of make a suggestion and kind of move people subconsciously into a certain psychological process, so that those that are actually going to come into the fold, so to speak, have been cued. It's sort of a way of waking a sleeper, so to speak.
Sure.
So in that aspect, I mean, there's that one thing, there's the tagging, which is the cue. It's the thing that begins the preparation. And then after that, there's a heavy amount of information given, informativeness that actually happens. You know, they're passing out flyers, putting up, you know, whatever it is at that point in time that they're trying to get, you know, saying, hey, this is the date that this thing's going to happen. And then after that, you know, they come back and they begin to reinforce the idea by actually, through these various shock accounts on YouTube and whatever, they start putting up certain films of people transgressing. And, you know, their actions are definitely not legal. They're definitely not desirable to, I don't know, the everyday mom and pop deal, but everybody wants to know what motivated that guy. You know, what motivates that dude to walk into a building full of people with a fucking, 100 sticks of dynamite strapped to his chest and a fucking old Mickey Mouse style ticker on it? You know what I mean?
Right.
So you start looking, you start going, well, what's going on? Why is this person have this behavior? And then they start to think about the why. And that's where, you know, your ability to actually connect with empathy is important. You know, if your message is targeted correctly, then you'll develop a great deal of empathy. You'll start to attract people of similar interest, not necessarily similar ideology, but of similar interest. So, you know, it's interesting to me, though, because the media, if you can make a bad guy out of somebody immediately, and the media is real good at doing that, the public almost always makes a hero out of them afterwards. You know, like, I mean, I think about the story of Robin Hood, and I'm not really sure if this is an actual historical event. As a matter of fact, I'm pretty certain that it's not. But the story of Robin Hood is that, I mean, the dude's a thief, and because he tossed off a couple of gold shillings to people every time things went down or whatever, you know, they ended up making a hero out of him. So, you know, I've been kind of thinking of things along that line, because the idea of actually getting people together into one spot in any time in the near future. I mean, me and you, when we originally started having this conversation, we had this 12-year goal. Remember, that was the initial,
right.
the 12-year goal. Well, I mean, in 12 years from now, there's a good solid chance that, I mean, fuck, we might be in concentration camp-style cities or whatever. You know, our action might come too late then at that point. So I guess what I'm saying is, well, we're building up to our Occupy Wall Street. You know, there are small transgressions along the way that need to take place, and we need to be thinking of things on a level of maximum impact, minimum consequence, or minimal
right.
risk, rather.
Well, I think, like you're saying, that it's a tiered process. And while I'm talking about, I am talking about the homestead thing. I am talking about the community thing. But I do recognize that trying to move towards that direction in the short term, it's impossible. Asking people to do that, it's just not going to happen. But that there are those, I mean, when we're talking about transgression, when we're talking about taking steps, taking action, it seems to me that the overall message is turn your back on the system. Turn away from the way of things, the status quo, and start doing things for yourself. And when somebody argues, you know, like there have been people who've argued online, who actually argued online against, you know, against what we're saying, because, you know, we're not actually doing anything, we're just talking. But when they argue online that it's not, you know, they like capitalism, it's not worth their time to turn away from the system. They'd rather try to transform the system into something else. So for people who call into this show who don't necessarily get what it is that we're about, who talk about how they want to get the politicians' attention, they want to get the system's attention and get them to take steps to correct whatever the issue they have is, this what we're actually talking about doing is breaking away from that system. And as you're describing, coming up with some sort of a meme, basically, getting it out there, this idea to as many people as possible, that you can turn your back on the system. You should start doing things for yourself. You should start, you know, whatever. That's absolutely what I think we should be doing. The question I guess I'm asking is recognizing that the homestead part is like an ultimate goal, let's say, down the road, where, you know, it might not just be one place. It might be several places. But that groups of people who are like-minded move together and, you know, do for themselves as a unit. In the meantime, I think there are enough of us, you know, online, you know, in the real world, you know, in our little places and everything else, where we could actually start, you know, started with what we're doing here on Blog Talk Radio, with what we're doing on Eminent Mind. We've already started kind of networking. We've already started kind of putting the idea out there that we're willing to take steps. We're willing to take that action. So I'm just trying to think about different ways to, you know, start sharing those resources, start, you know, getting back and forth and dealing with one another in a more focused way. And, you know, to what end? To what, you know, what action should we be taking? What kind of things should we be doing? Like I said, I understand it's a tiered process. So there are some people who are ready to go to war right now. You know, they're ready to pick up weapons and commit acts of violence. Most of us aren't there. Most of us aren't anywhere near there and will not be pushed to that position until violence is actually threatened upon us, which I think is a rational, legitimate position as things stand now. 5 years from now, 10 years from now, it may make perfect sense to be proactive in your assault, to have a preemptive kind of strike. Right now, I don't see the sense in that.
See, here's the thing. I don't think that it's not that we're not ready or we're not prepared, because if it came down to it, I would take action this very second. And I mean in a very physical, aggressive, hostile, warm manner. But I don't know, I guess I kind of think back to the thing that Sun Tzu said about, you know, the guy who goes to war and has no idea about his enemy will suffer a thousand men or something like that. The guy who knows his enemy a little and sort of knows himself will suffer 500 men. But the guy who truly knows his enemy and truly knows himself will win every time. And I think that's what it really comes down to is there has to be a certain level of preparation. There has to be a certain level of understanding. There have to be these steps that I was sort of describing or trying to give an analogy to just a few minutes ago that, you know, it's a build to effort. Sustained effort, strong effort always happens in a deliberate manner. You know, just going out and, you know, I don't know, eventually committing suicide by cop isn't going to do a fucking thing. You know, all you're doing is signing yourself early, out early, and leaving the rest of us who think like you do, one last man, when the drum roll does stop.
Right, right. No, and when I say that I don't think we're ready, what I mean by that is, I don't think the majority of us have reached that place in our mind where we're willing to go out and instigate an armed conflict. That I don't know, but I don't think you're there yet. That you're willing to go out and pick a fight with the powers that be, not directly, not, you know, not toe to toe, because it would be suicide. It would be exactly what you're saying it is. But I do recognize a good part of it, you know, is with that, with Sun Tzu's wisdom. That, you know, you need to know yourself and know your enemy before you go out and actually take up arms. You know, but I also think it's, you know, we're not, the best way to win a fight is not to actually be engaged in one more often than not. You know, that it's, if you can find a way to obtain your goal, without ever having a confrontation with your enemy, then you should, I think. It's the best use of resources. Eventually, of course, your goal becomes eradicating your enemy. You know, that's because they're your enemy for a reason. But in the meantime, if you can build up your resources, if you can fortify your position, if you can do whatever it is you need to do, whatever your goals are, without running into that, you know, direct conflict, then that simply makes sense.
All right. There's something I've been writing for a while that developed in, alongside my other projects and things that I have been working on. I've kind of taken the time to examine some of Sun Tzu's logics and how they apply to things on different levels, and by different levels, I'm more specifically talking about not just our current situation in terms of, political and social repression, but also they work in a mimetic kind of magic way, if that makes sense, in a true manifestation of will. Some of the interesting things that Sun Tzu said, one of those is very much what you just said a few minutes ago, which is that wars are not truly won on the battlefield. They're won in the camps of your enemies. And that happens through a couple of ways. He talked about developing, I think it was 6 or 8 different types of spies. These types of spies were sometimes intentionally spies and more times than not unaware of their part in winning him the war. And this, is, I think, is really what needs to be going on. You know, that there has to be a certain level of deception and a certain level of kind of cloak and daggers action happening. You know, again, it's just blatantly ignorant to go out there and commit suicide by cop. You know, and also it costs things like lives. And where some people may not value the other lives around them in any stretch. I'm not saying that they should. They most certainly should be valuing their own.
Right on. Right. No, and so I guess what I'm trying to discuss is, you know, we've talked so much about the why we should be doing something. We've even talked about some methods that we ourselves are using. And I'm wondering about the next step. I'm wondering about the next phase, where, you know, we've got a cabal of interested parties, you know, people who are, you know, they're tuned into the show. They tune into the other shows. They're talking to us online in different forms or sending emails. They've expressed their interests in, you know, in being involved. So, what do we do?
Well, what next?
Go ahead.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. I was going to say, what do we do to utilize those folks?
Well, that's very interesting because that's kind of what I was getting to with everything that I was building up to here. The next step is the tagging, but it's not just tagging in the same sense that Anonymous is doing it. There's a variety of ways that it can actually happen. I mean, one person is actually utilizing the current situation in a manner that I think is excellent, even if it's unintentional, would be Wicked Pup. He has gotten involved in this Anonymous action. You know, he's out there passing out flyers. He's out there, mingling and associating himself with these people, and he's taking up their banner and acting. Well, and hopefully, on the side, he's starting to plant little ideas that are more, or at least feeling out who, when this is all done, when the when the bubble bursts, when things start moving in one direction or the other, who it is that he can kind of reel into his own little cult, or not cult, but clan. Jesus Christ, I said cult. Someone shoot me. clan. And, who could be used as that type of spy. I think that the correct action right now is to align yourself with people that you may normally consider to be undesirable. I mean, half of some of the people that I've talked to's problem is that they're going out there and joining these big movements. Seems like it's just jumping on the bandwagon, but it's only jumping on the bandwagon if you're doing it without deliberate intention. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
So I think that tagging through this memetic method is probably the next step. It's what we should be doing. There should be some symbol. There should be some icon, whether the icon is a tangible or visible icon, or it's idea oriented, that is being planted, it's being placed. It's the first transgression.
Well, that sounds like something we need to actually start talking about, to actually start pushing. I like the idea, the language of the term that comes to my mind is kind of taking what you've said, a memetic tag, okay, or memetic tag. So, but we would, defining a memetic tag as not just a piece of graffiti, but any means of communication where you drop the idea, where you implant, this possibility into the minds of those around you. So it could be graffiti. It could be a tag or whatever. It could be a little business card with information on it in particular books at your local bookstore. It could be T-shirts that you wear. Music that you listen to that's definitely, Rage Against the Machine kind of stuff. It could be, legitimate artwork, music, it could, whatever it is, something quick and easy that you can kind of just drop and, let people find it, let people discover it. So they do what you're talking about doing, but not just with tags on a wall,
but with every possible way that you put out an idea. And so we need to kind of, I think, develop a group of symbols, and not just, you know, again, not just, you know, graffiti tags, but snippets of message, you know, catchphrases, that kind of thing that, you know, it's that you put out there to get people thinking with this. And maybe, you know, maybe it's, let's say we come up with a bunch of phrases, and then with the phrase we drop, well, a lot of the phrases, a little simple icon, a little simple logo, whatever, so that people, you know that these things are related, know that these ideas are all focused on one particular point. And,
one
you know,
of
and
the,
encourage, go ahead.
I was going to say, one of the genius things that I like about what has now, through our little circle, has been coined as the ONA 2.0, is that they do this thing called memetic hijacking. And I think that it's the most effective way to actually do what we're talking about. You hijack a popular idea, and you put your hook into it. You put your symbol into it. You attach it to your idea. I think that that would be the most effective and quickest way to actually produce what we're talking about.
No, that makes sense to me as well. So, you know, taking, you know, not even necessarily creating phrases or creating whatever, but actually finding things that kind of work towards our end and then slapping it up with, you know, our little bit into it. And it's exactly what you're saying about the ONA. You know, the ONA has been, is it the L316 Nexus or whatever I'm thinking of?
Yeah, L316, the ones that actually began doing it are the 352s, the WSA 352s. They're the ones that actually began doing this memetic hijacking. I started paying attention to it, I think, back in like 07, 08 on My Satan, as I was watching Chloe and Kayla go to work on that forum. I started to realize that what they were in fact doing was hijacking buzzwords and then wrapping it into their idea.
Right, right. Or with the L316 thing is they post videos and they make sure that the ONA symbol flashes in, you know, in the sequence of the videos, the sequence of images are showing. And so the videos themselves look very much like the anonymous kind of videos, or the Occupy Movement kind of videos. But there's that extra symbol there that's not part of the mainstream understanding. So people that want to dig, you know, they take a look at that. And, of course, what happens in that situation is when people dig it and discover it for themselves rather than just being told overtly, here it is and here's what it's about, well, then they think they've, you know, it's become a part of them.
Right. I mean, you've already kind of got a knack for this sort of thing. I'm thinking back to that series of Cthulhu rehashes of old like magazine style ads,
right,
where you just took and kind of manipulated them to fit that vibe. That's the kind of thing that I'm talking about doing.
Right on.
First of all, it's already recognizable to an extent. It already has a certain level of appeal to it built into it. And you know, it's very easy then to implant your ideas into it. So
right on.
And that's just on a visual aspect. I mean, I can think of other things that sort of happen, like the parody songs. Weird Al Yankovic's really good at that kind of deal, you know, where he takes a popular song and just rearranges all the words. It's still got the same meter. It's still got the same rhyme. It's still basically the same fucking song. It's just, it has his message now attached to it.
Right. The call-in phone number is 347-989-1371. And I guess, you know, and again, we're talking about methodology. We're talking about putting this idea out there. And I think the core idea is, again, it makes sense to break away from the system, to get some independence from the system, start actually being self-determined, start actually trying to do things for yourself and reach out to other people who are trying, who are, you know, seeking that sort of self-determination, recognizing that we don't have self-determination, doing things the way you're told to do them, doing things the way that you've been told is the right way to do things is not, does not lead to self-determination. Actually transgressing seems to be the quickest method to self-determination, to you know, to actually doing things as for yourself or just discovering that it's possible. I guess I kind of want to talk about this, kind of, you know, to move the conversation further forward. So we're talking about, when we talk about this kind of mimetic tagging or mimetic hijacking, we're talking about moving people towards this idea. We've got, again, we've got a number of people who already, or who've already bought in, who are already engaged in this idea. What's the step, what's the next step for these folks? What should we be doing? And what I'm looking for is a sense of community. This idea that, okay, you're in, you're engaged, you're involved, you're doing, you know, you're doing the things you're supposed to be doing, whatever it is, you know, that you decide. You're taking action. So now, what do we do with one another? How do we interact? What do you think we should be doing as groups?
As groups, well, first the question becomes, if we're then still focusing on the internet forum, I could see taking group structure, but if you're talking on an offline fashion, I mean, the conversation is going to be different regardless, and I don't care what anybody says. The internet is a viable platform for actually acting as well as talking. I mean, talking in itself is an action. Anybody who tries to convince you otherwise is, well, just a plain fucking moron. You know, the thing of it becomes whether, you know, when, and I want to just kind of say this real quick to clarify things, because there's that expression, you know, talk the talk or walk the walk kind of deal, and they always kind of make it seem like talking the talk is not walking the walk. It's only not if the two are not congruent with each other or consistent. So I think that's the first thing that's important. But the next, I guess what I want to go to then is I want to go to the actual physical level, the actual, I don't know, let's call this the outer plane, the real world, offline. What can you do as groups in that format? The first thing I would say is gather regularly. You know, gather regularly, share resources. You know, you've got a small group of people in Austin that are all interested in this. It's not a bad idea to have a Sunday barbecue from time to time. You know, well, not from time to time, but every Sunday, you know, the Sunday football game. And from there, you know, you implicate certain things that push that agenda. They invite their friends, you know, their other friends to come do this. They invite their, I got a toddler. I'm not a toddler, but a four-year-old who's up and crying. I might have to deal with this real quick.
No, go ahead, man. Go ahead.
Yeah, so here, you do your thing and I'll go take care of him, okay?
Okay. The number, the call-in number is 347-989-1371. We got about 20 minutes left to the top of the hour, and again, I don't know if the show's going to go for 2 hours this evening. It may or may not. It just depends on how far along, you know, we get in this conversation. We might not even do more than an hour, but less than 2 hours. I don't know. And we're talking about taking action. I think the things that we're starting to discuss or the things that we're starting to consider is how do we start coordinating our efforts? We've got enough people who I think are aware that the system is fatally flawed, that the intention of the system is basically to make us slaves, to keep us from thinking for ourselves, keep us from doing for ourselves, that we are all supposed to fit the pattern or mold that's been established for us, for whatever our role is in society, and we complete. I mean, think about your education. Your education is about, you know, learning to be a good worker, learning to be a good member of the workforce, so that you join the workforce when you're 18 or 24 or however old you are when you graduate from college, and then you're a member of that workforce until you're too old to do anything else, until you retire. And then your retirement's supposed to be, you know, it involves – there's a certain pattern that's already prefabricated, a cookie-cutter pattern that's supposed to be the shape of everybody's life, the way that – that's the shape your life takes. And that's the only choice you have. That's the projection from the system, and we recognize that's false. We recognize that not only is it false, it's toxic to believe that. It's dangerous to believe that, which is why you've got a growing number of people in society as the – I mean, at one point – our society could accept that kind of burden. Our society could handle that kind of, projecting that kind of expectation. And it was always buying, taking from the future to pay for the present, constantly doing that. We've reached a point where that's not a possibility anymore. So when I talk about the system, I liken it to a ship at sea. When this thing finally does sink, and it's sinking, the bilge pumps are, already overtaxed. There's no way that it can sustain itself for much longer. So it's sinking. So when this thing sinks, just like a big ship at sea, when it sinks, well, it pulls an amount of water and everything else down with it. So everything that's floating around it, everything that's close to it, gets sucked down with it and is destroyed with it. So the more distance you can put yourself between you and that ship before it sinks, the better off you might be. And, what TC was saying about how we need to start actually getting together. This is something I've been kicking around. And, TC, are you back on the line, man?
Yeah, I'm back, man.
Okay.
What I was trying to get to was what you could do is under the guise of some more mundane activity, begin to gather people, and by this, there's four of us, okay, we're meeting this Sunday to watch football, that's what we're doing, so whatever, the game, kickoff's at 3 o'clock or whatever it is, bring a dish, bring a 12-pack, that's, your share of it, we'll feed each other, we'll drink together, and then next week, when we do this, everybody's responsible for bringing one person who has the same rules. Yeah, bring a dish, bring a 12-pack. And then the following Sunday, again, everybody's responsible for bringing one more person. And you continue to do this, and as it's going through, you talk about what's going on. You bring the issue up in front of them. You force them to examine the situation, and then from there you can begin to make determinations of, who is with your idea, who is against your idea, or start planting the mimetic hooks one way or the other. People are very easily swayed, especially in times of frustration like this. One of the most fascinating things that I've seen lately is the way that the media, now that they are actually dealing with this Occupy movement, the way that they're kind of creating a dodging shift type thing where they're like, well, they're all getting together, but they don't know what they're really angry about.
Sure.
Their complaints are not coherent other than this one. And so that's kind of a diversionary tactic. It kind of separates the fact that everybody's angry about the same thing. Shit sucks. That's one blanket, huge umbrella, loaded, complicated fucking problem. Shit sucks. It really does. So what you would be doing instead is continuing to move the focus to what makes this shit suck. As you guys are watching football or whatever, and you don't have to have some genius speech. It's very easy in that kind of setting to just relay your ideas on a very common level and have people empathize with them. And that's what we're aiming for, is grabbing that empathy. Ultimately it doesn't matter in the end, because our goal is actual separation, right? I mean, Let's just lay that out right now. This movement, if you want to call it that, is about separation. It's separation from not only big government, but separation from all the rest of the fucking idiots that are fucking up our life daily. If we can use, you know, if we can use a majority of those idiots to help us accomplish that goal, well, fuck, once they're all done with their separation, they don't necessarily have to separate with you. You know what I'm saying?
Right, right.
So,
I agree.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah. So I'm thinking along those lines. And I guess one of the things I'm thinking about is, you know, I've got people here who are, you know, they're on board on an intellectual level. In other words, they understand the concepts that we're talking about. They totally embrace the idea, but I don't know if they're willing to or if they're actually actively taking whatever steps. And because, frankly, I haven't been that deep into anybody else's business. You know, if they are, they are. If they're not, they're not. That's great. But I would like to actually, I mean, we all talk about how there's a lack of connectivity. There's a lack of, you know, the only sense of community we have seems to be on the Internet. So I think it's necessary, you know, to fill that void. And what I'm thinking about, as ridiculous as this might sound, is actually, you know, hosting a poker night once a month. Where, you know, we all get to go together and play poker for change. And then over a game of cards, talk about whatever other shit's going on. You know, eventually start trying to develop a unit so that when there's some event going on, you go as a unit. When there's something going on in somebody's life, a unit is there to respond to whatever that event is. So that we all begin to feel like there's some mutual support for our efforts. That there's a group of people who are actually interested in one another's success and are pushing towards that idea of separation. Because, you know, the end goal we talk about this idea. I joked about it in the chat room on the Friday night show, the Hellville idea, where we've all moved to one community where we're all, you know, watching out for one another. And I can't see why we can't have that sense of community now, before we even have that sort of geographical, you know, location. Now, I think, you know, there's some of us, like, I think you and I have that sense of community. You and I have that, you know, that idea that, you know, we got one another's backs. And I know that there are other people who want it. You know, they express it in the chat rooms. They talk about it on, you know, through emails and stuff like that. So I get going, having something mundane like you're talking about, something simple like a poker night. Why like getting together to watch football once a month or once a week or whatever? Well, the people that actually show up, the people that actually show up and want to do this, that are looking forward to it every month or every week, those are the people that you want really to start talking to and see what other ideas they might be interested in.
Agreed. It seems to me like you're talking on two platforms. You're talking about actually organizing first, you know, whether it is some kind of a swarm brotherhood or something more, I don't know, rigid or structured, which I'm kind of against the rigid and structured, but it may be necessary in a tactical stance. So
I am talking about something really loose, you know. It's especially in the beginning. It's a group of knuckleheads getting together to play poker and talk shit about what's going on. But eventually,
right.
Going, you know, hey, maybe we should start being more invested in one another. So not having a name, not having any kind of real umbrella organization, just that, you know, I've got a list of guys that if the shit were to hit the fan. I could go down my list. I could make those phone calls in 10 minutes. And by the end of those phone calls, know what's going to happen, know how this is going to go down, you know that these people are going to be here to assist me with whatever needs to be assisted, you know, whatever needs to be done, whether it's, you know, I mean, I don't know if you had this kind of thing when you were a kid. I definitely had it. I mean, the Army is the biggest, you know, gang that one could ever be in. But I had a group of guys in my unit who I knew that if, you know, if the shit were to hit the fan, these guys were the guys who were going to go to bat for me. These are the guys that had my back. And as I went through getting promoted, these were the guys that actually supported me and helped me get promoted, that watched out for me. So I get the sense that this is kind of the step that people are waiting for us to take. When I said, you know, so who's ready to move to Hellville, at least one person said, I'm ready to go. I'm ready to pack my bags and go now. And I was, you know, pleasantly pleased with that.
Right. Well, as far as the actual, that's what I refer to as kind of a brotherhood or a family. Or a clan. That's actually my idea of the clan. That's something I've worked my entire conscious life towards. I have friends from every era of my life, and what's weird about the friends from the different eras of my life is that they all know the friends from the other ones. They're all there. It's funny. My mom had a really bad car accident this Friday, and people that I hadn't talked to. Friends like this, and I hadn't talked to them, came out of the woodwork making sure she was okay. So that showed me that what I had worked to build for all those years, you know, was still there and still completely viable. I could still completely rely on them, and you know, if I guess that deal with being there at the, you know, the drop of a hat if needed, it's there. It reminds me of that movie Stephen King's It, you know, those boys that all made the pact that, you know, should the shit come up again, we're all going back to deal with this.
Right on.
So, I mean, that's exactly what needs to be developed. I agree with that entirely. A pledge, a brotherhood kind of deal, brotherhood, sisterhood, whatever you want to do, a pledge to not only each other but to yourselves that, you know, you want this kind of thing because, I mean, let's face it, you know, it doesn't matter how great of a warrior you are, at some point the numbers are just going to be too big.
Right. And I know we lean on movies, especially, I mean, the movie that I like to lean on is Fight Club. But it's the same concept as what you're talking about in It. These kids get together because they're looking for a way to deal with the problems that they can't handle as individuals. I mean, if we're talking about the system, we're talking about, you know, our society, the roles we're pushed into, the choices we do or do not have, and that kind of thing. The individual, this is why we're kept individualized. This is why we're encouraged to, you know, all make sure we have our own places and make sure we have our own jobs and what have you, is so that we're broken into individuals. We're not a community anymore. We don't have that sense of togetherness. Because if we start massing in numbers, well, then we're harder to deal with. We're harder to push around. So these kids in It get together because they're, you know, this is just their way of responding to the pressures and forces around them. And like you pointed out, eventually, you know, they find themselves in a real crisis or imaginary crisis, and they deal with it as a group. They have, that's a lifelong bond they have. In Fight Club, you know, you go from a couple of knuckleheads beating the crap out of each other, or, you know, one guy, if you've seen the movie, and I just ruined the end for you, if you haven't seen the movie, I ruined the end for you, sorry. One guy beating the crap out of himself in a parking lot to a group of people who do this for fun. You know, they're doing whatever it is they do for fun. And eventually, though, these ideas are being, the mimetic, you know, hook is being put into them. The idea that, you know, hey, look around, man. Look at what you've got going on. Look at your life and look how free you feel when you go ahead and say, fuck it. I'm just going to do whatever. And why can't we have that every day? Why can't we have that as our way of life, as our way of dealing with doing things? And this is what I think, you know, I'm just trying to figure out, or I just want to talk it out, you know, how we begin that process, that part of the process.
I I think the first beginning and why most of the time situations like we're discussing are accomplished through actual organizations of sorts is because there has to be a weeding out process. There has to be a way to test the merit, so to speak, of that person and be sure that, they're not going to snitch, for lack of a better way of expressing what I'm talking about.
Sure.
When you think about organized crime, the whole way that a guy gets made is once he's tried and true, once he's proven over and over that he's in just as deep as you are and has just as much to lose as you do. That in itself resounds, and that in itself is how you know that you can count on that person. My buddy Damien, the one that passed away last October, him and I had talked for a long time about doing something similar with this because we had developed a family of that sort. There were like six or seven couples with kids that got together regularly, that stuck together and looked after each other. We went through Hurricane Charlie together. We went through a whole bunch of shit together. We had talked about those of us that knew, that had transgressed for the other, that had crossed that platform and proved ourselves, getting all these Wolfpack claws, which were just wolf claws that were tearing through flesh, tattooed onto the side of our neck. Mm-hmm. That was something we had thought to do to mark that we had gone through this process and proven ourselves to each other. And there's no greater testament to that kind of dedication than putting yourself through the physical pain of a tattoo to mark that, you know?
No, I totally understand that. My thinking is starting the process is just having that thing that you're doing on a regular basis, like you said, once a month, once a week, getting together. And then the first weeding out thing would be, okay, who shows up for this consistently? Who's always here? Who's always involved? And then as you're talking about these ideas, you feel out who's into it, who's not into it, or what have you. And then you're going to have that. The thing in my mind is that all these people that got the tattoo that you're talking about, all these people that took that mark and that shared identifier, they already had the identity before they took on that mark. They didn't say to themselves, okay, I'm part of this group, I'm part of this family, now that I have the tattoo. No, they got the tattoo because they were already part of the family. They were already engaged in that unit and recognized that they were something. They were part of something more than just the standard, community, family, social structure that, is pressed upon us.
There's my thoughts go to the tattoo actually never happened itself, but the idea behind it was kind of like blood brothers. When we were kids, it was, let's be blood brothers. Cut your thumb, I cut my thumb, and we swear an oath to each other. Well, we already had that sense of closeness developed, absolutely. We were already there and had each other's back, honestly, absolutely. It was just a way of kind of stamping it and sealing it and giving a reminder to ourselves that no matter what level of pain we had to push ourselves through, that it was important to the preservation of the group, because that the preservation of that group ultimately meant your own preservation.
Right on. No, that it makes sense. Having so, and it's the idea of having a physical process to go through. Our society is bereft of initiations, where that's a part of the experience of being a human being. You can mentally tell yourself that you agree. You can be, like I said, intellectually invested in whatever it is, that you're doing. But until you have some skin in the game, until you actually have a physical, investment, it's hard to actually, be there emotionally, to be there and, fully aware that this is your responsibility. We're at the top of the first hour. or the bottom of the first hour, however you want to look at it. You know, I know we can go on about this topic, but do you want to hold off on this?
I think it's important maybe at this point in the show to for me to say, you know, anybody who shares the same kind of ideas that I do, and is truly heartfelt in going through something like this, I am willing to form that kind of bond with that person. That is exactly why I came onto the internet in the first place. That is exactly why I came out of the smoke. You know, I was happy, you know, with the Twisted Radio thing ending and not really having too terribly much interaction with people on the internet and staying in my own little circle. And I got to thinking to myself that, you know, there's only, shit, a half dozen couples, seven couples, something like that. That's not enough to actually protect me should shit break down. That's not enough to actually back up my actions and give me any kind of force to act with. And you know, that thing goes for everybody. You know, when you have that kind of cohesive group like we're talking about, every time someone flexes their muscle, they're flexing all the muscles, you know? And that's the beautiful thing about it.
Right on. Yeah, I think the reason I came to get on the internet and started looking for the people that I did find was just what you're saying, is that, you know, you have these ideas, you have this way of thinking, and you wanted to, you know, first of all, make sure you weren't the only one. But then the other thing was is that you wanted to make sure that you had a community to help defend yourself against people who would oppose the way you think. So knowing that there was this community out there of people that you could reach out to is helpful. And then starting to develop that network of people around you. And I think the problem we're facing is that, you know, it's easy to do it online. It's easy to sit there and say, you know, oh, well, you know, I'll shoot off an email or whatever. You know, I'll show my support, or I'll comment on the blog or whatever. Not a big deal. It's quite another thing to sit there and say, you know, let's actually start getting together. Let's actually start thinking about, you know, we talk a lot of shit online about how, you know, the government sucks, the system sucks, and everything else. What are you willing to do to make some changes for it? What are you willing to do to, you know, take action?
Right. It's something I'd like to kind of tune in here and put here. One of the things that I really enjoyed about my experience putting forth this show on The Ooze is that you see who actually is consistent, who actually keeps coming back, and who actually can maintain a sustained effort in something. They prove themselves because they're here. They're calling in. They eventually end up as co-hosts. You know, they're partaking, they're participating, and they're proving themselves. And so I think this is definitely where the shift starts to form, if that makes sense.
Sure. It's that first tier. That first, you know, you, if you said sifting, it's exactly what you're talking about. You begin to, you know, you begin to differentiate between the occasional, you know, that person who's willing to cheer you on or whatever, he's occasionally there, occasionally not, versus people who actually have an interest and are so interested that they're willing to come to listen to a show where over and over again, it's just talking about these different ideas, because they're energized by that. They're engaged in those ideas. So yeah, that's definitely, you know, that's definitely one of the tools we have that we're taking full advantage of.
Right. And what's interesting is people will see this as they see the next phase that we're beginning to roll out, you and I. That, you know, with this Ooze Radio blog, newsletter, info center that we're developing for this. This is, in fact, a further extension and an attempt to further develop the closeness of this group of people. So, you know, I think it'll be interesting because in itself it's sort of a thought experiment.
Right. Right.
And it's, you know, and it just gives them another way to express themselves. It also gives our audience a more consistent way to connect with us. So, yeah, I think the next phase of the Ooze that we're working on is going to be a boon, something totally worth the effort. But
right on. What I'm hoping will actually come out of this next phase is that all the co-hosts will be able to text in and post directly to that blog. You know, something's going on, you have a thought on something, you want to get the word out on something quick, you'll be able to actually text in or email in what's going on. You know, photos, whatever, just boom, it's right there. So it encourages the social aspect of it, and it also encourages further exploration of action. You know, now if you're downtown and you're tagging a building in the middle of the night and you just want to, you know, snap a quick picture with your phone and jump in a car, you can send that off and people can actually see action happening. You know,
right,
like beyond talking, because obviously talking is not action according to some people, but.
Well, and it's, you know, what I find interesting about, and it's not just one person that has that's made this comment or whatever. It's always weird back and forth. You know, the whole is the discussion action? Is the discussion, you know, what do we have to show for? What are we trying to accomplish? And it's, you know, it comes from people who have been doing whatever they're doing for years. You know, and some of them, you know, decades or more. That when, you know, they go, what do we, you know, what is it we're doing? Well, the actions we've taken, the things that we're doing, let's take away the blogs and the books and the internet radio shows and the forums and everything else, because as is correctly pointed out, anybody could do that in a matter of hours. The thing I think people need to keep in mind is that each of our focuses, each of our goals are different from one another's. So, you know, I don't think you and I are interested in some massive organization. I don't think we want to have some sort of banner or brand other than the radio show. The radio show is a different issue altogether. It's almost a commercial venture. But, you know, we don't want to have a philosophical brand that we're asking everybody to cater around. When we talk about our accomplishments, we just look at our individual lives and things we've done to become self-determined, because that's our big thing. Is self-determination, is the sense of freedom that we're trying to obtain. And it's a matter of, you know, going, you know, either, you know, I've you know, completed an education. I'm working in the job that I've always wanted to work in. You know, that we have children that are, you know, that's an obvious manifestation of our success, at least at some level, you know. There's all these things that we're doing that it might not be the grandiose things that some other folks do and consider a real mark of success, because when they look around, they're the only ones doing whatever it is they're doing. But there definitely is something to this discussion, because when we have these discussions, people tune in, people are listening to what we're saying about this stuff, and people are starting to act. You know, I know that I have done more and since we started having these conversations, in order to really evaluate myself, really kind of take a look at, okay, if the shit goes away, how prepared am I to take care of my family? And correcting some of the flaws in my behavior to make sure that, you know, that situation, if it comes, I'm prepared. And I guess I while I'm saying that, another thing I wanted to point out that, you know, has been said, I guess, is that, you know, here we are preparing for the worst, basically, or the best, depending on how you look at it. It's the failure of the system to provide whatever it is we need. If the system never crashes, well, then all of our effort, all of our action or whatever, there's no harm. You know, we might just be a little bit better off than other people. So there's no harm in doing what it is we're doing. But if we do see that eventual collapse, if we do see eventually this it becomes necessary to start thinking about, oh shit, how am I going to do these things for myself? Who am I going to connect with? How am I going to live? How am I going to deal? Well then, our efforts will have been totally worthwhile. So I know it's kind of a hokey argument, but it's a valid argument, I think, that, you know, taking these steps towards self-determination, if you're happy with the system and everything else, great, you know, stick with it. But taking these extra steps means that, you know, you're just a little bit better prepared.
Right. Well, before we get too much further along here, there's actually a caller calling in right now. So.
Oh, cool. Let me go ahead and they dropped off. You know what? Before we before we pull that caller back on. Yes, yeah, it's the 111111 number. So I don't know if it's we had a guy calling in last week. I think I want to address that. I want to say something about that because there are people who are calling in who I don't think get, and I think we kind of touched on this already, but there are people calling in who don't get what it is we're talking about here. They want to call in. They want to use this as their personal political soapbox to suggest whatever their agenda is to, you know, correct the problems with the system, to mitigate or address the issues of the system. But it always seems that when we talk to these folks, the bottom line is they want to fix whatever's wrong with whatever, you know, with the system. They want to, you know, and when we talk about, well, we're not down with fixing the system. We're not interested in taking steps to correct the problems. We see the whole idea of the system itself as a problem. So if you're calling back in, the phone number 347-989-1371, hopefully you'll keep that in mind, that we're not here to fix the system or discuss fixing the system. We're actually here to kind of break away from that system.
And it looks like Salah Houdin, if I'm saying that correctly, has got the right idea, if I'm understanding their comment correctly in the chat room. They say, I think that like the phoenix rose from the ashes, if the system is run to the ground, I'm guessing is what that's supposed to say, run to the ground, we may have an opportunity to actually change rather than forever seek to reform an irremedial system. So, yeah, absolutely. You've got the right idea. We're interested in not participating in this shit any longer. We want the freedom to make our own personal systems, to not have to abide by anybody else's rule.
Yeah, it's almost becoming apparent that it's against human nature to have a set of governments, a set of systems or whatever that are overarching huge swaths of the population, where it seems to be more a lot of our natures to seek out our own tribes, seek out our own clans, you know, people who are like-minded, people who share that same sort of, you know, whatever it is that you've got going on. So there'll be groups of people who are all about, you know, rigid, you know, systems of social or, you know, socialism or whatever, but that's what they're all about. And they insist that everybody, you know, make sure that they do a certain job, they contribute a certain way, and that's their lot in life. And they're not allowed to retire until they're 65 or 70 years old, and that's the way that works for them. And if that works for them and their little world, fine. But it seems that there should be some other option for those of us who don't deal in all that.
Yep, absolutely. Totally agreed with that. I'm kind of curious if there's something wrong with the actual show today, because I've seen a ton of guests actually popping in, but not a lot of actual people logging into it. So I'm not sure if they're just listening and whatever, that aren't commenting, but, you know, certainly your response is appreciated. Your commentary is I don't know what I want to say. It's taken into consideration, you know, but shit. It's just nice to know that people are listening, and it's even nicer to know that people are actually doing or being a part of. And you know, being a part of doesn't constrict or confine you to it indefinitely. It just means that you're participating in it at the moment, you know.
Right. And something that Saul Houdin is typing about right now is replacing the system with something altogether new. Again, I want to make sure that we want to be clear on that it isn't our intent to supplant the existing system with the new system, but rather if the system as it is taken away, then groups of people will have the ability to determine for themselves what systems they want to apply to themselves. And then those people, once they make that determination for themselves, will gravitate towards others who have made that same kind of decision. So you won't have a system of governance for a particular population. You'll have many different ways of doing things, catering to many different types of people that will have conflict. They'll war against each other. There will be alliances. There will be that kind of interaction. But you won't have, you won't have one overreaching body that you will never have really an opportunity to actually go out and have contact with and participate in. It's just a matter of it's a small thing. It's a small difference, semantically, but it's a huge difference ideologically.
Absolutely, and I think that the main key here is that you should be able to choose who dictates what within your, within your sphere of action. I think that's the main thing here.
Right, right. And, speaking of, action, speaking of acting, that we should do or we are doing or what have you, I think this whole, the agenda is starting to kind of crystallize and form. And there are people who are kind of buying into it. And again, it's just a matter of now, like we've been saying, starting to get together on a regular basis, in our own communities, in our own little geographic areas, sharing these ideas, maybe breaking bread together and that kind of thing, and just talking amongst ourselves as to what the next step is, whether it's, beginning to live in the same area in your particular city so that you have, close access to one another, whether it's, purchasing land and building structures on land so that, you have a place for these people to go to gather together or what have you, forming that compound or whatever it is you're going to do, or just having some sort of, just the regular get-together, just to get that sense of community. So all these things that we're trying to accomplish, and I haven't heard of anybody really, even actually accomplishing any of this stuff. I haven't heard of anybody. I mean, okay, let me take that back. There have been people who have done this before, but in our particular circles, in our particular communities, there are people right now who are trying to buy structures or trying to do different things, trying to get an organization up off the ground. It may have been trying for some time, but as to actually accomplishing those things, none of us really have accomplished any of that yet. It might be coming in the future, but it's just a matter of getting there and figuring out who you're going to be around, who you want to have with you when you actually take those steps.
Absolutely. It's certainly about picking your own time, drawing lines in the sand, and not having to apologize. Not having to apologize where it's, unnecessary to apologize,
Right.
But, I'm trying to figure this out. Salah Houdin is asking us a question in chat, and I'm trying to make sure I get this right. He wants to know what we think of the worldwide brush fire of protests that has spun off of this Wall Street protest. First of all, I think that it's not something that has occurred just as a random manifestation. I think that this was the intention from the start when this movement was suggested. I think that I'm trying to think of what else I want to say. I think that it's to be expected. I mean, I don't think it'll be too long before we actually start seeing people burning whole cities to the ground. And it's very much because of this media misdirection that I think it's going to happen. You know, the fact that they're not willing to actually understand the blanket problem, the umbrella problem, that you know, this shit sucks. It sucks for everybody involved. It sucks for the 99%, and it sucks for the 1% too.
I think the whole occupation movements is just the latest expression of the general discontent that's been growing for decades. So whether or not I buy into the whole occupation movement being the solution, I don't think so. Having, you know, visited, having seen what's going on, it really is just another venue, another way to voice, you know, the sense of discontent. But as this discontent continues to fester, as this discontent continues to grow, what I see happening, I guess, is this. I have this, you know, very Discordian vision of you've got these forces of chaos opposing the existing forces of order, and whenever these chaos and order forces conflict, as one escalates their effort, the other will escalate its effort to match. So you're going to see these extremes become more and more poignant, more and more violently opposed to one another, until, you know, unless something is taped, something is done to kind of mitigate both forces, unless something is done to kind of draw down the continued escalation, we are going to see the situation. We are going to see, you know, riots in the streets everywhere, not just, you know, not just third world countries, not just Egypt, but here, you know, right here in the United States, where people are willing to, you know, burn down cities, set cars on fire, or whatever. I mean, shit, we've got people who are willing to do that when their basketball team loses. So, you know, when they finally realize that I'm not going to be able to go out and get a job, that I got a bachelor's degree and went into debt for in student loans and have absolutely nothing that I can do with my education. What did my education mean when I got it? As those things continue to become the norm, you're going to find that this discontent is just going to erupt violently. It might not be the Occupy movement that actually is where that actually happens. Something else, I think, Mike, will probably come along. I give the Occupy movement until December or January because it's going to get cold. Those people aren't going to want to be outside. So I have a feeling that it's going to kind of die off then. It might pick back up in the springtime or whatever, but I don't think it's going to be the continuous thing that we've seen going on right now.
But I mean, to be straight honest with you, dude, first I want to say that all of the stuff that we're seeing is a symptom of what's actually infecting people. It's not the actual infection itself. And the other thing is, I just can't wait until they start killing off these fucks. You know, I'm just holding my breath and waiting, because the air is about to get a lot more or a lot less sparse. Let me say it that way.
Right on. So we got about 5 minutes left. Go ahead, dude.
I was going to say, I know a lot of people might think that that's a reckless statement, but it's truly how I feel. You know, as far as I'm concerned, at least within a two or three square mile radius of me, there's nothing but a waste of life around me. So I'm looking forward to, you know, there not being so much waste.
Right. Right. The idea of, you know, who's truly human amongst the animals that you run into on a day-to-day basis. Who has the awareness that, you know, is what I would consider definitely an identifier of a human being. And, you know, the more we're plugged into the system, the more that we see, you know, this kind of thing going on, the less and less likely that is. And again, along those Discordian ideas, as more people try to unplug, as more people try to give up on this, you know, on this, on these ideas, these traditions, these values, these, you know, normal patterns of day-to-day life, as more people either give up on it or it's not possible for them to engage in it, the system's going to react with even ever greater restrictions, which is going to result in ever greater resistance until, you know, it falls apart completely.
Right on. So you were saying 25 minutes left in the show.
Oh, yeah. 347-989-1371 is the call-in number if you want to call in. You know, share what you got on your brain or ask questions or whatever. Go ahead and give us a call. If not, I mean, we'll just keep talking.
Yeah, I was hoping 111111 would call back in, but I'm down either way. I mean, hopefully we've offended enough people that we've begun a little bit of that shifting process here.
You know, I think while we got a moment, and one of the things we're talking about doing with the Ooze page is making sure that every co-host has their email or contact information up. I wanted to put out my email address as sorrellart@hotmail.com, sorrellart@hotmail.com. And if, you know, I try to respond to my emails on a regular basis. It's just not always doesn't always happen, especially since, you know, the tattoo jobs tend to take priority. But if you have information you want to pass along or questions you want to ask, hit me up through my email, and I'll definitely try to get back to you.
Right on. And the same can be said for me. Beastzino@gmail.com. That's probably the best address for people to try to get me at. That's the one that I consciously make myself go check. So, well, I'm thinking about this, that EA coding guy didn't actually get back to me this past weekend, but he did send me a message on Facebook tonight apologizing and trying to coordinate something for later this week. So it's possible that we might actually have another highlight edition sometime in the near future.
Right on.
I
guess, you know, since we're kind of on the topic of what's coming with the shows, if anybody didn't check out the Friday show, Wicked Pup and crew were just on it. Very energetic show, very entertaining show. They hit a lot of ideas. They had a lot of things to say, a lot of opinions. And it's cool that, you know, we got this talent on hand that really want to take advantage of the hour or 2 hour slots that we're able to provide them. That they're, you know, they're out there doing their own thing and everything else, but they see the benefit of engaging in this particular brand. And those folks that, you know, that, and of course, we're looking for additional talent, additional hosts, who, if, you know, if you're along the same lines of thinking and everything else and think you can do an hour show, you know, we're always looking for that, and we'd like to consider you. But these guys, I mean, they're awesome. And it just blows my mind every time I listen to one of their shows that it's how on it and how energetic they are. So definitely check out the Friday show, and hopefully they'll be back on it next Friday. It's just kind of cool to have these people that they appreciate what the Ooze, you know, is and what it can do for them, and we definitely appreciate what they bring to the Ooze. So it's awesome.
Hey, man, if we get a couple more acts like that, I can fucking retire. That'd be great. Be great. You know, what is it, 2007 until 2011? That's 4 years of fucking Blog Talk Radio, man.
Yeah, that's a lot of talking.
It's a lot of fucking talking. I mean, my voice has been on the internet for hours now. Days, actually, now that I'm thinking about it. Days, maybe weeks. I mean,
yeah.
But these cats come up with
some of the crazy stuff to talk about too. And, you know, a lot of it's along the topics we talk about, but they'll reach back into their bag and they'll pull out some topics that you know, you might not even be thinking about, but it's definitely worth a listen because they definitely have an opinion and it'll make you think. So, I mean, it's just awesome. And I think it's we're greatly privileged as the financial backing for this whole effort to have that kind of talent on tap, to have those people willing to, you know, invest their time in what we got going on. So if they do get a chance to listen to the show in the archive, just thank you to our other co-hosts for what they do and what they bring to the U's.
Right on, man. You know, I'm thinking one of the things that we might implement in the future is mandatory suicide for anybody who sucks. You know, that'll be the mem we try to, you know, hook into things. You know, we could bring back the old "Don't worry, be happy," and if you're not, mandatory suicide.
Right, there's always option B.
Right. Just, you know, throwing that out there because, I mean, it would be nice if I didn't have to shoot you with a bullet.
Right.
Yeah, the one thing I always loved about the samurai ideology was that if they reached a certain level of dishonor, you know, they didn't make somebody else come in and take them out. They did it like a man. They, you know, went ahead and took care of business.
Right. Is it the Hara Kugi? If I'm naming the book correctly, if I'm saying it right, it was a book written by a gentleman who spent a lot of time listening to a person who was samurai. And who, you know, just gathered the things he said and talked about proper samurai etiquette and mentality and what have you. I'm pretty sure it's the Hara Kugi or something of that nature. But the book was written, you know, centuries after, you know, military action had, you know, ceased in feudal Japan. So I know there's something to it, you know, seppuku and things like that with the samurai. The thing I find interesting with the samurai is that it's all about the perfection of what they do. They recognize that every day is, you know, meant to be effort towards, you know, making sure that even the simplest tasks that they perform to the best of their ability. And part of their mentality was always keeping in mind that each day could be the last. Every moment could be the last moment you have. Instead of fearing it, they embraced that idea. That, you know, death was just the whim of their lord, whoever they were in the employ or in the debt of, at their whim, they could die, and they would be happy. They would happily fulfill that request. It would be part of their honor to do so. But the idea, you know, that it seems to be again another shortcoming in our society, or shortfalling of our society, shortcoming of our society is that we don't have that sense of we have the sense of we're going to live forever. You know, it doesn't become clear to us we're not going to live forever until we're very, very old. And again, it might be an idea that we understand intellectually at a very young age that, you know, everyone dies, but it's not a pressing concept in the minds of most until, you know, there's a disease or something of that nature. And death's not something to be feared, but, you know, the awareness of this, the awareness of our limited amount of time might encourage us to be more positive in the way we spend our time and the actions we take. We might seek that kind of daily perfection, even in our most mundane tasks that were common to the samurai, according to the book I'm referencing that I can't remember the name of exactly.
The book you're referencing that you can't remember the name of exactly. That's beautiful, man. No. That should be, you know, I think I might actually write a book called The Book You'll Reference But Can't Remember the Name Of.
That's right. You know, yeah, that'd be awesome. I'm pretty sure it's Lahara Kagugi or Kugi. Bear with me a moment. I got Google up.
But that kind of perfection, that level of perfection is what has given the East a certain level of advantage over the West. And I know that people want to kind of point over there and go, oh, there's no advantage. It's just there. These people, you know, live like this. But it's the same kind of thing as us calling the Indians savages when we first got here. We didn't understand the culture. You know, a lot of these people choose to live by those specific means.
I did find the book. It's my dyslexia kicking in. It's the Hagakure. I reversed the G and the R. So check that out. I mean, especially, you know, if you're a fan of the Art of War, the Hagakure is a very interesting read, the Book of the Samurai. So, yeah.
I'll have to check that out. I haven't read that myself, so. Means a trip to the library for me. You know what my favorite part about the library is, Jason?
What's that?
When you're done reading the book, it doesn't have to sit on a shelf in your house. You can give it back.
Yeah. That's if you even bother going to the library to get the book. You could just download the book anymore.
Right.
Matter of fact, that might be faster. And then you just delete the book when you're done reading it.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, definitely. I mean, I'll be going to check out that, see what I can do. If there's something about actually reading the physical book that's easier for my digestion than trying to read a PDF. I don't know what it is about PDFs, but I find myself around page 30 nodding off for about 20 minutes, and then again around the page 105, and then again, you know, around 225. I catch it napping that way, but it really interrupts the absorption of information from me for some reason.
For me, it's a matter of just sitting at my computer. I don't need another reason to just sit at my computer and read a book. So if I do get a book on PDF, I got to have a Kindle or something to read it on, or, you know, a laptop or something of that nature, so I can curl up on my couch and read that way. You know, I'm able to I can do that a little bit better. But I know exactly what you're saying. And Jamie, as a matter of fact, is even worse about things like that. She will she prefers all of her books hard copy. And and, you know, we're bibliophiles, so, you know, we collect, you know, rare books and things like that, although that's kind of come to a screeching halt now with everything that we've been talking about. By the way, that's going really well also, the thinning out of the material gear.
Yeah, I haven't seen an eBay auction in a little while, so.
There's a bunch of stuff up on eBay right now. So, yeah, it looks like it's up to $259.69 for this week. So, yeah, there's a bunch of stuff up. But it's going really well. Just kind of thinning out the amount of stuff we have.
Right on. I think that's excellent. Making money and getting lighter all at the same time. It's like reaching nirvana and wealth all at once.
Well, now the plan is, you know, it's taking those funds and doing something, you know, I don't know, investing them in a better way along this way of thinking. So we're not exactly sure what we're talking about doing. One of the things I think we're talking about doing is getting an RV, that kind of thing, you know, having wheels to travel with, that kind of thing.
Right. If you do get an RV. There is, and we talked about this on another show, I believe, but there is a way that you can modify certain engines, and I'm not sure what the specific engine type is, to have a water-injected fuel system and just make your gas mileage stupid. I mean, just stupid. And I don't mean, I don't mean stupid in the negative context. I mean stupid in like the 200 or 300 miles to the gallon context.
Right on. Something else we need to add to the list of things that that we do in ending our dependence on the system is anything that will help reduce your gas prices.
Right. The other thing I would suggest, if you're going to buy an RV, definitely get at least one or two 150cc, 250cc, 50cc for that matter, motorcycles or scooters or mopeds or what the fuck ever for
right.
light local travel.
Absolutely.
And so
that's our thinking anyways. Go ahead.
What's that?
So that's our thinking anyways, is that kind of thing.
Right on. But I don't know, 20 minutes left. Some parts of our audience are tired of our meandering.
Yeah, there wasn't a plan to that. That wasn't intentional or anything. That just it just happened that way.
Yeah, it does. It does, man. And you know, to be honest with you, I think a lot of the action that we need to take on a personal level, and I mean strictly on a personal level, is all relative to developing these kind of conservation of resource methods.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's really what we're, that's really the first and most important action, I think, because if you can't ever get to the level of having a clan, that self-reliance is still key.
Right. And yeah, the better you are, and I think this, in my mind, I think that even if you're not, in a position where you think right now that you can engage with other people and actually be, be involved in that kind of thing, where you can actually form this kind of clan with these people that you can go ahead and, engage with and rely upon, that if you're in a situation where you are best able to fend for yourself and to do for yourself, should the shit hit the fan, you're going to find that there are people that are in your circle, that are, in your realm of influence, who are going to know that you had your head in the game, basically. And these people are going to seek you out. And they're going to be worth the effort, worth the exchange. So, just because it's not necessarily shaping up right now, I don't think doesn't mean it's not going to shape up in the future, especially if something were to occur. But yeah, I'm totally down with, it's time to actually start getting some of these guys here in Austin together, and, we're going to start, I don't know what we're going to do. I know that on the 29th, we're all supposed to get together for one of the guys' birthdays. And I think I'm going to float the idea that we start to get together on a regular basis, once a month or what have you. And again, just to be together, just to hang out, just to make sure that everybody's doing all right, that kind of thing. Most of the guys here in Austin that I have that kind of interaction with, I care about them. I care about what they got going on, and, I'm interested in what they're doing and everything else. And usually it's all up, positive shit, cool shit. But occasionally, there's problems and everything else, and I try to be there available for them in whatever capacity I can be, even if it's, being a smartass and telling them they're fucking up or whatever. And I expect the same from them. And I get it in spades, basically, when I do something stupid. They're usually the first to let me know. But so I think that's kind of going to be what we're going to be talking about doing at his birthday party when we're down on downtown getting drunk and harassing
right.
people at the Irish pub.
I think personally I'm going to start pushing the idea of occupying the occupation. I think that's going to be my next thing. We should occupy the occupations,
I saw an interesting sign about the occupation movement. I forget who posted it. This is on Facebook. It was cool. It said, occupy your own mind. And it was just brilliant. Bumper sticker philosophy, but still brilliant. Really summarize, what's missing from the occupation movement. A number of people who know what they feel about certain things, that know, though they should be concerned about X, Y, or Z because they don't want to be labeled an evil conservative or evil, corporate whatever. But it's just supplanting one set of values for another set of values without any real thought behind it for a lot of those folks.
Right on. I kind of wanted to make I don't know, I address a little bit the commentary on the idea of bumper sticker philosophy, or what I like to call fortune cookie wisdom.
Sure.
You know, if people could ingest just half of the ideas that are on either of these, you know, they would be a lot wiser for it. I really think so. A long, long time ago, I found this fortune cookie, and inside of it, it said, common sense is instinct, and enough of it is genius. I've never been able to find a stronger statement than that.
Right on, right on. And it's, you know, it's one of those things where you read something like that, and you just go, I totally agree with that. That's absolutely right. But it's the application that's the issue. Can you take that information and can you do something with it? Can you live that way? And even we talk about this again. I've said this several times during the show. It's one thing to have an intellectual recognition of an idea. It's another thing to actually put some skin in the game. But putting skin in the game, you know, you determine at what level. You determine at what point you're actually engaged in this. You know, Gurdjieff says, you know, basically no man can know the mind of another. You can't tell whether somebody's aware or not. You know, there are certain signs, there are certain behaviors or certain, you know, certain efforts that suggest they're aware, but there's no actual defining it. So anybody that, you know, goes, you know, oh, well, these people aren't, you know, they aren't acting or living based on my standard, and then, you know, I know that it happens. Everybody does it. But it's, you know, good to kind of try to take a step away from that and just make sure. And I think we do a lot on the show is by going, this is what I'm doing or this is what we're doing. We're looking for other people to tell us what they're doing so that we can, you know, improve what it is we're doing or what have you. But there's a lot of doing going on. You know, a lot of talking on the show, that's what this talk show is for. A lot of talking on the Internet and YouTube and everything else, but that's what those venues are for. The doing, it might not be huge, it might not be elaborate, but, I mean, shit, I look around my place and I know there's something going on.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, speaking of doing, my mother lives down in the Fort Myers area, and the guy that she's with, he's had a troubled past, and he's, you know, it's past, but it haunts him, you know? It's something that'll prevent him from ever really getting any consistent or, I don't know, any, you know, he's just one of those guys that won't ever be able to work a regular job because of shit he did 30 years ago. You know, and it doesn't make a shit's bit of difference for him that he's not that same person and he doesn't do those kind of things anymore. And he hasn't for a very long time. He's branded. But the whole point of coming to what I was saying was that he is a very resourceful person. I mean, every can that's used in the house is thrown into recycling bins and taken to the recycling center once a month. And that recycling center is in, you know, it's en route to something else that he has to do, which was en route to something else that he had to do, and so forth and so on. He enjoys fishing, but he fishes to bring home, you know, and supplement part of his eating. He's just got this amazing system of self-reliance and conservation of resources that I can't help but admire it. And there's no doubt the guy's not much smarter than your average 12-year-old. He really isn't. And he's not like some philosophical giant. He's not some huge social commentary. He's what you would consider a textbook good old boy or a Florida cracker. But the way that he lives, there's a lot of wisdom to it. And it works for him. I mean, he takes very good care of my mom and himself, and he works maybe 2 or 3 days a week. So.
Right on. And it's unfortunate that, you know, when you got this guy who
you know, made some poor choices or whatever, and now that, you know, he's changed, he's made a progression. He's not the same person that he was before, but he's still being held accountable for those choices. I mean, you have to take responsibility for your choices. There has to be some level of accountability. But these people that don't allow room for progression, don't allow room for growth or evolution, for change, that insist that there should be some sort of that once you do something, you're consistently that thing. I mean, that seems antithetical to life, that you would, you know, you'd expect, you know, a thing to be a thing no matter what, no matter what, you know, what the situation was. So, yeah, but the idea that Reitz, despite his failings in the past, despite whatever choices he made, and despite the way that he now is shorthanded by society, that he still engages in his own thing and is very, you know, aware and involved in what he does, even at whatever rudimentary level he's capable of, that's huge. And the fact that he's able to take care of himself, you know, even handicapped in the way he is huge. So that, yeah, that is definitely inspiring.
Yeah, I just always look at the situation and scratch my head and go, you know, I've got a near Einstein IQ and I'm very self-educated and I can't take care of myself half as well as this dude does. You know, it just makes you wonder who's really smart and who isn't.
Right on.
So, you know, it is what it is. And I thought I'd throw that out there as I was sitting there thinking about the fact that his life is meek yet efficient.
Right. Well, and yeah. And that kind of, you know, awareness of time even. The best possible way to do things, you know, the most efficient way to do things. It's impressive.
Yeah. And I mean, it's crazy, man. When you look at how he's got his day planned out and the fact that it's almost on autopilot, you know, it's Thursday. Today we're going to pick up my paycheck, and along the way we're hitting the recycling bin for aluminum. We're hitting the recycling bin for bottles. We're stopping off at, you know, whatever church organization to pick up some free loaves of bread, free cans of meat, free peanut butter. You know, and we're going to hit it at this time. We'll be home by 4 o'clock to crack open the first beer and start drinking through the night. You know, it's just crazy.
Right on. Well, we got about 7 minutes left. I guess we just round off the show kind of talking about what's coming up maybe.
Yeah, we can definitely do that. I mean, we have, you know, the next progression for this show is obviously Tuesday night with your genius broadcast, Luminous. I don't know if you've hooked in your co-host for certain or not, or if that's still on the table, but you know, I'm interested to hear about that.
Well, and like I said, at the beginning of the show, I've been slammed this weekend with tattoos and everything else, so I haven't actually had an opportunity to get back in touch with the guy. But I do definitely want to get in touch with him. I want to talk about what ideas he has for the show, for what he wants to do with the Tuesday slot. And I'm down pretty much for anything. I know this Tuesday, I'm going to take a break from the political, you know, grandstanding and talk about just the upcoming Halloween holiday. Halloween, probably, you know, one of my favorite holidays. I've enjoyed it ever since I was a kid, and I'm going to take an hour to kind of talk about what we see going on with Halloween now, and what you know is cool about the holiday, what I really enjoy about it, some of my memories about it. So an hour of me getting all angry about how it's being taken away from us and nostalgic about it. That's what the Tuesday show will be, about Halloween, about 2 weeks early, but I figured I'd go ahead and get it out of the way.
Right on. Wednesday night will be the premiere, and I'm not really certain what time I scheduled. I know I made a commitment to an actual time slot, but Wednesday night will be the very first Female Satan and Bicino edition of The Ooze. We haven't really come up with any clever title or anything for it, but that's this Wednesday night, and will be a weekly progression after that. This week, our first topic was agreed upon to discuss how to form a memory. We're going to talk about conscious memory making, according to Gurdjieff, and you know, whatever side constructs kind of play into that. So that should be a fascinating thing.
Right on.
Then, of course, the coming Friday show, the second edition of the new Ooze Occupied, the progression for what was once the Fallen show is now, it's become, as you said, probably the best thing to hit the air here so far. Saturday on what I'm now calling Primus Mono, or the First Flow, Saturday, 1 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, the original time slot and the original concept of the Ooze being remanifested, or I wouldn't say remanifested, but reemphasized. Lehi and I will get into the first chapter of the book we talked about this past Saturday, the Yoga of Power by Julius Evola. For those that listen to the show regularly and catch all the archives, you can download it in the Mendez Library now. So, download it, read it, get ready. We're going to go through some of the coolest concepts ever, and what I would like to deem possibly the first modern Satanist. Only he didn't carry the pitchfork and horns.
Right on.
So.
Right on.
And I'm not sure if that. Do you speak Latin at all? Because I'm not sure if I've got the Latin of that right. If Primus Mono is or Mano is correct for saying the first flow or the first ooze.
I know that prima is first. I mean, everybody knows that. My Latin's really rusty.
Well, I know the words are right. My question was more in the context of the structure of the phrase.
If I'm right, you have the words reversed. But
okay,
it's structured in English. So yeah, if I'm right, the adjective in Latin follows the word it's describing.
Okay, so it should be mono primus.
I think so.
All right. Well, we'll find out. I'm going to try to call Jake.
Yeah, check that. Don't quote me on that. I might be wrong.
Right. I'm gonna hit up JK probably Tuesday morning and ask him, because I know he's taking Latin and he knows how it goes. So.
Right on.
I know the words are right, but whatever. All right, so where are we? I think that's it, man. Anything new?
Yep. I'll be uploading some new tattoo pictures tomorrow, probably after I get out of my tattoo appointment. So I did some artwork that was interesting, to say the least, this weekend. So and I'm working on a mermaid zombie pinup tattoo. That's coming if the chick follows through with it. That'll be cool.
Right. I'm actually getting ready to start another 22x28 poster board picture done in markers. I actually have two in mind. One is based off of Lady Death or the Mother Death or whatever the hell it is that the Mexicans traditionally go crazy over. And the other is a suggestion. Like, what's that?
Santa Muerte.
Yeah, that one.
Yeah.
That's it right there. Yeah. So something about that. But the other idea that I have in mind is something my kid suggested. He wanted me to create a half dragon, half shark, half octopus creature. So
that'd be cool.
Yeah. That's that's what I got in line. But we're about out of time, dude, so let's get off this fucking thing.
Right on, man. Later.
Thank you for listening to the Ooze. Opinions expressed by our guests or callers do not necessarily represent the opinions held by TC, Zach, Jason, Matt, or any other institution represented by them. If you have been offended by the production of this show, we are sorry, but it's the old expression goes. Of course, special thanks to Dr. Rocky DeRoma for his contribution to this outro. The Ooze is the Creative Oddity Studios product and is presented by Titanic International Network as its official Blog Talk radio show. Why waste your time with those other guys?